Argument, Tackle versus University of Wisconsin Hospital, Mr. Jardine.
Good morning. My name is Dan Jardine. I represent Joyce Tackle. She is a nurse, was a nurse at was the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics Authority. During my argument, I will be referring to that entity as the authority, unless the court directs me otherwise. As the court knows from the briefs, the authority used to be the University of Wisconsin Hospital, which was no question a state agency that was entitled to 11th Amendment immunity.
Mr. Jardine, how do we get past the fact that the state controls the makeup of the authority's board of directors? How do we get to say that it isn't an arm of the state when the state is exerting that much control?
What the state has done by statute is say the board of directors has to consist of these people. That way it'll have some people who can have some input into it. However, that board itself, that is an entity. It is not an entity that is the state. It is viewed on its own. It might happen to have individual members.
How many of the members are state officials?
All of the voting members are officials in some capacity of the state.
They're not just appointees, but they're actual officials.
How you want to specifically designate them, they're members of the Board of Regents. Some are members of the Board of Regents. So the Board of Regents clearly is a board for the University of Wisconsin. Those are appointees. I don't know at what level.
The Board of Regents of these state universities, they're not actual state employees, are they?
No, they're appointees. And that's what I'm going to say is that it depends where you want to.
So these are not actual officials. These are part-timers who presumably are pulled out of the private sector and they're given this board of director position. Is that correct?
Yes, Judge. As an example, let's say that there is a private person who is appointed to the Board of Regents. Okay? When that person is on the Board of Regents, that entity, the Board of Regents, is, of course, a state agency. But let me give you an example of why the fact that all of the voting board members have some tie to the state should not be dispositive. Let's say, for instance,
when you have some tie, I'm just curious, are any of these people actual employees of the state, or are they all, you know, like these regents, they're private people doing this part-time work?
Well, one example that's easy, Judge, is there are three members of the authorities board which are simply appointed by the governor. It doesn't indicate.
So they could be anybody.
They could be anybody. So that's why I'm saying is where the state connection ends is different depending on the various members. Of course, there are three members of a board of regents that are going to be appointed: the chancellor of the UW, the dean of the UW, chairperson of the department. So yes, there are some faculty members, but there are non-state board members, and the point being that...
Okay, so some of them are private people. Others are faculty or administrators who, because they're employed by the university, are actual employees of the state. Is that what you're saying? So
yes.
Some are state employees or some are private.
Yes. But if ABC Corporation, a fully private corporation, happened to appoint 9 people to its board, and they all happened to be state employees, it wouldn't make that a...
Well, let me ask you this: why did the state decide to spin off the hospital?
for the purpose.
Maybe that's a better question for them, but I'm curious what you think, why you think they did it.
Fortunately, we won't really have to worry about what my idea was, because the state has actually said so. The state's legislative bureau has cited the comments that the people from the University of Wisconsin Hospital wanted, and that was to become an independent nonprofit entity that would allow them to increase management flexibility in hospital operations without being subject to state control.
And that's what I don't understand. Why, if what you want is management flexibility or something like that, why not just change the rules for this group of state employees? I mean, it would be odd to say, well, we're going to spin off the police force, make it a private group, private entity, so that our personnel policies with respect to policemen don't have to be identical to our policies with respect to clerks or something like that.
Right? University of Wisconsin, excuse me, the hospital, pre-authority, needed to become, quite frankly, more competitive. And it couldn't do so under all the state constraints, not just on personnel policies, but contracting. A number have been cited in the brief, but as highlights,
Well, what would be the best example of some irksome state rule which they got out from under by spinning off?
There'd be a few. I know you asked for one, but I guess they're all about in the same category. The personnel policies, the ability to hire and fire and pay, get good employees. Number two, the ability to enter into contracts with parties without having to worry about the state oversight on those contracts. This entity now has the ability, and it was the reason that they established this statute, now has the ability to run as a private entity.
So is it so when these people, when it was part of the state, so did the employees have tenure or something, or civil service protection or something of that sort?
Well, they had to go through the state hiring procedure.
Once they're hired, as state employees, do they have special protections that they've now lost? Is that the idea?
Yeah, well, number one, all the employees would be members of the union, AFSCME, that covers the state employees. Now it does not necessarily have to be the case. The authority has contracted with that union to get some employees, but it doesn't have to. It can hire anybody it wants. The only thing thing that I found that was, in my opinion, erroneous about the district court's decision was that it said that, you know, there's three controlling factors from Crescetto, and with respect to the second one about how much control there was or how much it directed its activities, the district court indicated, to quote, that the role was, oh, I'm sorry, there's the state bar, that the role of the authority was completely defined by the statute. And that's not true. It indicates some things that the authority is supposed to do. And by the way, I'd like to indicate that there was a mistake in our brief. At page 9 of our initial brief, we cited Wisconsin section 233.02, should have been 03, and later about whether there being a payment out of state funds, it should be section 233.17. But it indicates in that chapter things that the state would like to see the hospital still do. But otherwise it leaves things completely open and allows it to be a competitive hospital. It expressed intent, and that is in fact what it did.
Apart from the, supposing there were no contract with the AFCME or whatever it is. Anyway, they must have employees who are not union. So presumably when they were state employees, they had a federal constitutional right to a hearing. If they were tenured, right, they couldn't be fired without a hearing.
And other things under the collective bargaining agreement for just cause, yes.
So has that carried over?
It does only if they wanted it to.
So they could hire someone and say, you know, you're just an employee at will.
Absolutely. I see that I'm in my rebuttal time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jardine. Ms. Wilson?
May it please the Court, Kelly Wilson on behalf of University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics. I think the first thing that's important to point out is that the hospital is not taking the position that plaintiff can't bring suit against the hospital. The Wisconsin Fair Employment Act specifically...
Yeah, we know, but they want to bring a federal suit, so...
But under the Wisconsin Fair Employment Act, it specifically...
No, but that's not the issue.
Well, I think it's important to...
No, she may have other remedies. That's fine. The question is whether she can sue in federal court.
I think what's important to look at the Act, though, is that the Act applies to state agencies. Under the definition of state agencies in the Wisconsin Fair Employment Act, it defines an authority under Wisconsin law as a state agency. So the Wisconsin State Legislature has stated that its intention to control an authority, the Wisconsin University of Wisconsin Hospital.
Well, I don't understand how it can have its cake and eat it.
Well,
it wants to spin off the hospital so that the hospital can be a private, can have all the flexibility of a private enterprise. And why should it be permitted to retain sovereign immunity? I don't understand. It's a private hospital now. The fact that some of these people are regents or appointed by the governor, I don't see what difference that makes.
I guess I would take issue with describing the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics Authority as a private entity. The hospital pays over $100 million each year to the state of Wisconsin. It completely funds. It pays almost $70 million a year to fund a state agency, the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics Board, which it is required to contract with, does all the human resources, hiring, firing, defending lawsuits against board members, state agency members in Wisconsin courts.
Well, sure. I mean, look, the state owned the hospital, so when it spins it off, you know, it's going to insist on financial benefits. It's not just going to give it away. But how is that any different from it? Suppose it sold the hospital outright to, Hospital Corporation of America and said, mm-hmm. we're giving you our hospital, now you'll have to pay us $100 million a year in royalties or something.
It's very different in that when the state legislature created the authority, it wasn't the hospital that went in and used the legislature as a puppet to give it exactly what it wanted. The state insisted on maintaining a great degree of control. One major issue of control that the state retained is that all employees of the University of Wisconsin Hospital, whether they be members of the state agency, the board, or authority employees, are considered state employees for purposes of pension and retirement benefits. All of our employees and the hospital continues to get the retirement and insurance benefits of the state of Wisconsin. There are over 80 statutes.
Well, presumably they were state employees, so now, of course, they're going to retain their pension rights. What about for the future, new employees?
New employees, all employees, by law, Chapter 40 of the Wisconsin statutes, state employees of the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics Authority are defined to be state employees for purposes of pension benefit programs. Throughout about over 80 statutes in Wisconsin law, the Wisconsin legislature determined what areas it was going to maintain a significant amount of control over for the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics Authority and what areas it would act more like an independent entity.
So you have the pension. What else?
We're considered an open... All the CEO of the hospital and all the board members are considered to hold state public office in for purposes of the state ethics statute. We're subject to open records and open meetings laws. All of our books are completely open to the public. All of our meetings are completely open to the public. the labor statutes specifically say what collective bargaining units we have. We, you know, the same union represents the nurses pre-authority and post-authority.
Well, Mr. Jardine said that the hospital could doesn't have to have the, a collective bargaining agreement.
Certainly, if the nurses who have been unionized for several years, I couldn't even tell you when they began to be unionized, decided that they no longer wanted their union, they wouldn't be required to keep it. But
right. So what does that have to do with state control?
I'm sorry, what does
the... What is the fact that they can have a union or not have a union as they want have to do with retention of state control?
The state control more goes to how that union is defined. Under Chapter 111 of the Wisconsin statutes, the state legislature says that if they are going to have a union, the units that will be represented are limited to three, and they have to be in patient care, fiscal services, and I forget what the third is, but they state, rather than a private entity would operate, the Wisconsin State Legislature has specifically defined what those collective bargaining units must be. And any collective bargaining agreement would be approved by the Board of Directors, which, as we discussed earlier, consists of the Dean of the UW Medical School, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin, State of Wisconsin, who are State of Wisconsin employees, the Secretary of the Department.
What percentage of the board is state employee? Consists of state employees.
Actual employees.
Yes, actual employees.
Let's see. The Dean of the UW Medical School would be an employee. The Chancellor would be an employee. A chairperson of the medical school department would be an employee, as would a faculty member of the UW health profession. So that would be four. Four would be, that I'm aware of, would be actual appointees. I mean, would it be actual state employees? Then the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee would be...
Four out of how many?
Four out of 14. 14 or 15. You know, significantly, I would point out that the remaining governor appointees, currently the most recent appointee to our board, was the president of the Service Employees International Union, which is the union that represents...
Yeah, but that's a private person. That's not a governor appointee.
Yes, but that is the union that we negotiate with for our nurses association. Had we been a purely private
that's
entity...
That's very tenuous. So you have... So these people are in a government pension system. They're subject to government ethical rules and open meeting requirements and the collective bargaining agreement. If they decide to have a collective bargaining agreement, the bargaining unit is defined by the state. Are there any other controls that the state exerts on this?
The underlying facilities, the hospitals themselves,
yes,
and everything in them belong to the state, do they not?
Yes, the main hospital facility, which is a 536-bed hospital facility, is located on is state property. Any improvements to the hospital facility, we're currently building a children's hospital, that becomes state property. That's the majority of the business that the hospital authority does. It also has several clinics in the area, which may or may not be on campus property. And we're required under the statute to enter into a lease agreement with the state to rent the hospital building. And part of that lease agreement requires that it contain certain provisions that we follow all the state's mission, all of its policies. Nothing that we do can be inconsistent with state policies. Other statutes also require that in all of our contracts we have to put a provision that non-discrimination affirmative action provision. So the state has specifically controlled that in the contracts we enter into, we have to include a provision that states that we will not discriminate, and in fact that our contractors.
But surely that's in all state contracts, isn't it?
Precisely. I mean,
it's leading to my question. Right. What do we know about how the state regulates private hospitals?
It would be much different. I mean, certainly, Certainly, the way the state would regulate private hospitals, we would be subject to all of those regulations as well.
Right.
But in addition to that, we are required to we run independent research facilities to do breast cancer research, other types of research that are, you know, in addition to the over $100 million in funding that we directly provide to the UW Medical School each year pursuant to the required agreements under our statute, we also provide free services to support the types of clinics that the UW Medical School runs at the hospital. So
how much emphasis should we place on the fact that the authority is listed as a component unit of the state on all state financial statements?
I think you should, when comparing this to the Thiel case, I think that's an important factor when you compare the hospital authority to the state bar. And in specifically in those financial documents, it states that the financial statements of the state wouldn't be complete without looking at what the hospital authority contributes to it. So I believe that in terms of looking at what the financial impact is, weight should be put on the fact that they feel it necessary to report our contribution in those financial statements.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wilson. Mr. Jardine, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Thank you. This issue of the contributions to the state treasury having to be considered. The contributions that Oscar Mayer pays to the state have to be considered as well, of course. But what matters here is that this authority is quite unlike the State Bar of Wisconsin in Thiel. The State Bar of Wisconsin absolutely regulates a bar as any, like the Department of Regulation and Licensing would regulate other entities. It is a state agency, no question. I think Thiel was quite correctly decided. This case is far more like the Armory Board that is discussed in the Majerus case, in which the state of Wisconsin knew existed. That's called the State Armory Board. It is part of a state department, and it's still considered by the state of Wisconsin not to be a state entity for 11th immunity purposes. The authority is far more independent than the Armory Board there, and it is more consistent with the clinic in Fresenius. And as a consequence, we would ask you to adopt that language in Fresenius and the First Circuit. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.